6, but though he was so careful for his safety, he scarcely escaped the hands of his enemies, revealing by his deeds that the divine oracles are faithful and true, in which it is said, 5. A king is not saved by a great force, and a giant shall not be saved by the greatness of his strength. The horse is a vain thing for safety, nor shall he be delivered by the greatness of his power. Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their souls from death. 7. 6. Thus the tyrant, covered with shame, went to his own country and first, in frantic rage, he slew many priests and prophets of the gods whom he had formerly admired, and whose oracles had incited him to undertake the war, as sorcerers and impostors, and besides all as betrayers of his safety. Then having given glory to the God of the Christians, and enacted a most full and complete ordinance in behalf of their liberty, 8, he was immediately seized with a mortal disease, and no respite being granted him, departed this life. 9, the law enacted by him was as follows. -7 Copy of the edict of the tyrant in behalf of the Christians, translated from the Roman tongue. The Emperor Caesar Caius Valerius Maximinus, Germanicus, Sarmaticus, plus, Felix, Invictus, Augustus. We believe it manifest, that no one is ignorant, but that every man who looks back over the past knows, and is conscious that am every way we care continually for the good of our provincials, and wish to furnish them with those things, which are of especial advantage to all, and for the common benefit and profit, and whatever contributes to the public welfare, and is agreeable to the views of each. 8. When, therefore, before this, it became clear to our mind, that under pretext of the command of our parents, the most divine Diocletian and Maximinus, which enjoined that the meetings of the Christians should be abolished, many extortions 10, and spoliations had been practiced by officials, and that those evils were continually increasing, to the detriment of our provincials toward whom we are especially anxious to exercise proper care, and that their possessions were in consequence perishing. Letters were sent last year 11, to the governors of each province, in which we decreed that, if any one wished to follow such a practice or to observe this same religion, he should be permitted without hindrance to pursue his purpose, and should be impeded and prevented by no one, and that all should have liberty, to do without any fear or suspicion that which each preferred. 9. But even now we cannot help perceiving, that some of the judges have mistaken our commands, and have given our people reason to doubt the meaning of our ordinances, and have caused them to proceed too reluctantly to the observance of those religious rites which are pleasing to them. 10. In order, therefore, that in the future every suspicion of fearful doubt may be taken away, we have commanded that this decree be published, so that it may be clear to all that whoever wishes to embrace this sect and religion is permitted to do so by virtue of this grant of ours, and that each one, as he wishes, or as is pleasing to him, is permitted to practice this religion which he has chosen to observe according to his custom. It is also granted them to build Lord's houses. 11. But that this grant of ours may be the greater, we have thought good to decree also that, if any houses and lands before this time rightfully belonged to the Christians, and by the command of our parents fell into the treasury, or were confiscated by any city, whether they have been sold, or presented to anyone as a gift, that all these should be restored to their original possessors, the Christians, in order that in this also everyone may have knowledge of our piety and care. 12. These are the words of the tyrant which were published not quite a year after the decrees against the Christians, engraved by him on pillars. 12. And by him to whom a little before we seemed impious wretches and atheists and destroyers of a life, so that we were not permitted to dwell in any city nor even in country or in desert, by him decrees and ordinances were issued in behalf of the Christians, and they who recently had been destroyed by fire and sword, by wild beasts and birds of prey, in the presence of the tyrant himself, and had suffered every species of torture and punishment, and most miserable deaths as atheists and impious wretches, were now acknowledged by him as possessors of religion, and were permitted to build churches, and the tyrant himself bore witness, and confessed that they had some rights. 13. And having made such confessions, as if he had received some benefit on account of them, he suffered perhaps less than he ought to have suffered, and being smitten by a sudden scourge of God, he perished in the second campaign of the war. 14. But his end was not like that of military chieftains who, while fighting bravely in battle for virtue and friends, often boldly encounter a glorious death, for like an impious enemy of God, while his army was still drawn up in the field, remaining at home and concealing himself, he suffered the punishment which he deserved, for he was smitten with a sudden scourge of God in his whole body, and harassed by terrible pains and torments, he fell prostrate on the ground, wasted by hunger, while all his flesh was dissolved by an invisible and God-sent fire, so that the whole appearance of his frame was changed, and there was left only a kind of image wasted away by length of time to a skeleton of dry bones, so that those who were present could think of his body as nothing else than the tomb of his soul, which was buried in a body already dead and completely melted away. 15. And as the heat still more violently consumed him in the depths of his marrow, His eyes burst forth, and falling from their sockets left him blind. Thereupon, still breathing, and making free confession to the Lord, he invoked death, and at last, after acknowledging that he justly suffered these things on account of his violence against Christ, he gave up the ghost. Chapter 10. I. The final destruction of the enemies of religion. 1. Thus when Maximinus, who alone had remained of the enemies of religion 1, and had appeared the worst of them all, was put out of the way, the renovation of the churches from their foundations was begun by the grace of God the ruler of all, and the word of Christ, shining unto the glory of the God of the universe, obtained greater freedom than before, while the impious enemies of religion were covered with extremest shame and dishonor. 2. For Maximinus himself, being first pronounced by the emperors a common enemy, was declared by public proclamations to be a most impious, execrable, and God-hating tyrant. And of the portraits which had been set up in every city in honor of him, or of his children, some were thrown down from their places to the ground, and torn in pieces, while the faces of others were obliterated, by daubing them with black paint. And the statues which had been erected to his honor were likewise overthrown and broken, and lay exposed to the laughter and sport of those who wished to insult and abuse them. 3. Then also all the honors of the other enemies of religion were taken away, and all those who sided with Maximinus were slain, especially those who had been honored by him with high offices in reward for their flattery, and had behaved insolently toward our doctrine. 4. Such an one was Pusidius, too, the dearest of his companions, who had been honored and rewarded by him above all, who had been consul a second and third time, and had been appointed by him chief minister 3, and Calcinus, 4, who had likewise advanced through every grade of office, and was also celebrated for his numberless executions of Christians in Egypt 6, and besides these not a few others, by whose agency especially the tyranny of Maximinus had been confirmed and extended. 5. And Theotectus 6, also was summoned by justice which by no means overlooked his deeds against the Christians. For when the statue had been set up by him at Antioch, 7, he appeared to be in the happiest state, and was already made a governor by Maximinus. 6. But Licinius, coming down to the city of Antioch, made a search for impostors, and tortured the prophets and priests of the newly erected statue, asking them for what reason they practiced their deception. They, under the stress of torture, were unable longer to conceal the matter, and declared that the whole deceptive mystery had been devised by the art of Theotectus. Therefore, after meting out to all of them just judgment, he first put Theotectus himself to death, and then his confederates in the imposture, with the severest possible tortures. 7. To all these were added also the children 8, of Maximinus, whom he had already made sharers in the imperial dignity, by placing their names on tablets and statues. And the relatives of the tyrant, who before had been boastful, and had in their pride oppressed all men, suffered the same punishments with those who have been already mentioned, as well as the extremest disgrace. For they had not received instruction, neither did they know and understand the exhortation given in the Holy Word 8. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of men, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit shall go forth, and return to his earth, and that day all their thoughts perish. 9. 9. The impious ones having been thus removed, the government was preserved firm and undisputed for Constantine and Licinius, to whom it fittingly belonged. They, having first of all cleansed the world of hostility to the divine being, conscious of the benefits which he had conferred upon them, showed their love of virtue and of God, and their piety and gratitude to the deity, by their ordinance in behalf of the Christians. 10.